Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. We have 18 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have south winds today, gusting to up to 25 knots, becoming southwest 10 to 15 and 20 knots in the afternoon. So you can see a weather system moving through, as Gordon McCraw was talking about before, and the wind direction changing and things being a bit gusty offshore. Wind waves from the southwest 4 feet high at 4 seconds, west swells 2 feet high at 10 seconds apart, building to southwest 5 feet at 8 seconds between wave crests, and showers are likely today. On the Columbia River Bar in the main channel, we have combined seas 2 to 4 feet through tonight. However, seas will temporarily build to about 6 feet during those max ebb current times. Around 1 p.m. on Wednesday, 1:45 a.m. Thursday, and 2 p.m. on Thursday. So you can see approximately 12 hours apart. And today we'll talk about the dangers for mariners, anyone in a boat, from jetties and other areas that attempt to channel and confine moving water. It creates a lot of turbulence, and there are just certain areas you just need to be very cautious about, and I want to talk a little bit about with you about that today. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We've got 5 inbounders. We have 5 in the Astoria Anchorage, 3 at the Rice Island Anchorage, a little upriver from Astoria, but you can still see it from the waterfront here on the downtown area of Astoria, and 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Mount Aso. She's arriving from offshore, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She's a bulk carrier. She'll be here at about 7:30 a.m. Not sure what she's picking up yet, but she'll wait in the anchorage and eventually head upriver to a berth to pick up cargo. The ships that are in our anchorages here are generally light on cargo, and they're sitting very high in the water, so you'll see a lot of that dull red bottom paint showing. When they're loaded, they come down river sitting, they're sort of hunkered down in the water from the weight of the cargo, and that makes them much more stable at sea. So the ideal thing for a ship is always to have cargo on board for the reasons of commerce, and its reason for being, it's to carry cargo, but also for that stability issue at sea. The Navios Hyperion is our next inbounder, arriving from South Korea, headed for Longview. She's going to be picking up wheat at Longview. She'll pass Astoria around 3:30 p.m. You might see her in Longview near the big bridge there across the Columbia around 7 p.m. The New Journey is arriving from Los Angeles, headed for the Longview Anchorage. She's picking up wheat at the port of Longview, passing Astoria around 4 p.m., maybe in Longview by about 7:30 this evening. The Glovis Composer is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for the port of Portland. She's a car carrier, so a very high-sided vessel. Going by around 9:30 p.m. past Astoria, maybe at Portland about 3:30 in the morning on Thursday. The New Frontier is arriving from Russia. She's headed for the Vancouver Anchorage. She's picking up a cargo of scrap metal, which includes crushed cars. You'll see those cars coming down from British Columbia on tug and barge rigs, and they go to the scrap metal facility in Portland, where they're chopped up in little pieces, and then they go on bulk carriers across the ocean and get recycled and made into automobiles again and other uses for steel. So it's kind of a recycling operation there. She'll pass Astoria a little after midnight. You might see her in Vancouver, the port of Vancouver, by about 6:30 a.m. on Thursday. Our anchorage ships are all awaiting orders today. In Astoria, we have the Mary Lockey, the Ultra Cougar, the Star Crimson, the Belo Horizonte, the Raraka. And the Rice Island Anchorage, the New Confidence, the Star Sophia, and the Prabhu Yavika are all awaiting orders. That means that they're sitting there waiting for the word to go upriver to pick up cargo. And the reason why they're sitting here could mean that they need to be inspected, they need to pass inspections, various kinds of paperwork and transactions need to happen before a ship can start loading cargo. So sometimes in the anchorages, things like that will happen when they're waiting, and then they can just go to their berth and handle the cargo. But many times ships are waiting for another ship to get out of the way before they can go up there and get their cargo. And our outbounders, the ones that have already accomplished all this, they are headed downriver. Today we have the Bargara leaving Kalama, corn, soy, or wheat on board there, or some combination thereof in different cargo holds, departing around 5 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 10 a.m. The Eastern Asia is leaving Longview carrying logs, departing around 2:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. The Hygin is a car carrier. She's a fairly regular visitor to our waters, heading out of the Port of Portland with Toyotas on board around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. So you might see her if you see it looks like a big floating barn, those car carriers, but they're actually quite seaworthy and very well designed. They have a lot of ballast to counter all the weight they have above the waterline, and they're actually quite well-powered and fairly new ships in general. The St. Gertrude is leaving Portland carrying, she's a petroleum tanker. She's leaving around 5:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11:30 p.m., and the Southgate is a bulker with potash leaving the Port of Portland around 5:30 p.m. from the Canpotex facility there, with the largest wooden building west of the Mississippi to hold its potash, passing Astoria outbound around 1:30 a.m. on Thursday. Well, I found this very tragic story recently online from KATU-TV for Grays Harbor, Washington. Two people were recovered from the water near the Grays Harbor South Jetty after their boat capsized on Sunday morning, according to the United States Coast Guard. Now, when I looked up the tide tables for that time period, the tide was ebbing. And so this was a small open boat, maybe 18, 20 feet long. There were a few people in it. A couple of those people died. There was loss of life here. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about some of the dangers that we experience here. We have a huge amount of water, almost unfathomable to our minds, pouring out of the Columbia River, out of the Grays Harbor, out of all of these bar areas that are where estuaries meet the sea. There's a tremendous amount of water pouring out of them during the ebb current times. And any time when you have a downriver current, sometimes you have a downriver current that is made even more intense by the falling ebb tide. And that's what's happening during those max ebb current times. So the small boat was out there. They were probably fishing. The tide was ebbing, and they were near a jetty. And that means that all of this water is suddenly, in the open ocean, the water moves wherever it wants to go. When we put up man-made structures, or if there are natural structures like rivers, they start constricting the water, and the water starts behaving in different ways. So jetties are dangerous in ebb conditions and at any time, because water is constricted there and it's being channeled. And so whenever you have shallows or jetties or anything that impedes the free flow of water, it's going to create turbulence. And you can see this when you look at the water. Certainly when you look at the bar on an ebb here on the Columbia River, you can see the turbulence. Sometimes it almost gets like a washing machine out there with water slopping in every direction. If you look at areas where there are shallows, like if you go out to the water near Hammond, I was out there ship watching the other day at that place where you can drive out and park your car right by the water. And I looked right in the shallows near the shore, and the water was very, you could see the surface of the water was very disturbed because the water was going in all sorts of different directions because it was kind of, the flow was not consistent one way or another. And so that, those kinds of turbulence, that kind of turbulence in fairly deep water on a jetty can create sneaker waves where waves will just rise up out of nowhere. But anytime there's an obstruction in the water or shallow water, anything that causes the water to have to flow around it, it can create turbulence. So if you look at the bridge here, out here, the Mastoria-Megler Bridge, if you look around the base of those uprights, you can see that there's turbulence in the water there, and that can be a dangerous place to get a small boat near as well. So it's in your best interest as a boater to pay attention to these things. Buoys have water flowing around them. Any sort of stationary object can create problems for boaters out there. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great and safe day.